In honor of continuing the celebration of our seniors this morning, I wanted to emphasize something that is said around here so often and just saturates all of us. It's the love first community that we have. So I couldn't think of a better way to spend the next, I think I was given 15 minutes, and hold me fast to that, please. There was that one time at retreat that I told Hannah I was going to do 20 and did 60 minutes. So I won't do that again, Hannah. So I'm gonna make this short and I'm gonna make this sweet, but it's gonna be potent too. And I just want to make it powerful message, not just to just the seniors about who we are and what our identity is, like Craig said, like Greg said. But a message and a reminder to us all about what our mission, identity, and our community is all about. So I'm actually going to go backwards in Luke 10 to the story that's starting in Luke 10:25. And a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Now, this is notably quoted as the two greatest commandments, right? Love the Lord your God with pretty much everything you are, right? Your whole body, your mind, your soul, everything, right? And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's not just quoted in Luke. It's quoted in other places as well. And it's not Jesus saying it. It's a sneaky lawyer trying to get Jesus to tell him the answer, right? Have you ever heard of a sneaky lawyer before, right? So he's trying to get Jesus to tell him what the answer, and so Jesus turns his question into his own answer, right? And so this lawyer, he knows, he grew up in the law, he knows this, and so he gives the answer right back to Jesus. What shall I do is the question that he intends to ask Jesus. I just want to sit in that for a second. That question is totally focused on himself. This whole interaction begins on, what am I going to do to inherit something, to earn something, to win something, right? And I can't believe I couldn't think of a better example than this, but when I was younger, believe it or not, I couldn't go potty all the way in the toilet. Sometimes it went not in the toilet. Sometimes it went in my drawers and all over the place, right? So when it did all go down, my mom, there was a jar of Skittles, and if everything went down and I was clean and all good, my mom would give me a Skittle. That was my reward, right? So I guess in this scenario, it would be, "Mother, what must I do to gain my Skittle?" Well, you got to get it all down, right? Okay, right? So that's kind of this, that's a transactional moment that's happening here, right? Even toddlers can recognize that. Maybe that'll bring up some awesome family discussion during Senior Sunday brunch we're about to have. Because I don't think any of you going to college are going to have problem toilet issues. Hopefully not. So it's a totally self-centered question, right? And so the way that Jesus is going to answer this is through two different stories, through a parable and through Luke is going to tell a historical story with Martha and Mary. But even sandwiched in between his answer, he asks, and who is my neighbor? So you get the question that begins with, what must I do to earn this? And then he tells him, I know, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. And he asks, who is my neighbor? But Jesus is about to turn his whole world around and made this lawyer wish that he would have asked the question, and who is God? Not who is my neighbor? Okay, so let's go into the first story, the Good Samaritan. In verse 30, Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him. And when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the one who fell into the robber's hands? And the lawyer said, the one who showed mercy to him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. So let's go start at the beginning of this story here and just use our imaginations for a moment. The robber is going down a very rocky and arid place, right? Many of you have been out to the canyon. You know what it's like to go through a narrow place. For those of you who don't go outside, it's like in Star Wars when R2-D2 gets jumped by a bunch of Jawas. It looks exactly like that scene, right? If you look at a picture of Jerusalem to Jericho, it looks exactly like that valley, right? So it's a very thin valley. It's a very small, thin place, right? You don't want to be here. There's not a whole lot of places to go. So Jesus is setting up a very awkward scenario with this story, right? Because it's not like the Levite and the priest didn't see the guy who was half dead laying on the ground. It's a very thin road. You're going to have to pass by everyone that you meet. So they very obviously saw him and had to get close to him and decide, you know what? I'm just going to decide to go and continue on my journey, right? Now, I was doing some history research, and there is a valid case that some have made. They were like, well, the Levites and the priests, they had laws that they weren't allowed to touch the dead, right? So in accordance with the law, they didn't want to break the law, and so they didn't want to stop and, I would really not want to disappoint God by stopping and helping this man, so I'm just going to continue on my way, right? And perhaps that's what they were justifying in their hearts. Something very similar happened to Hannah and I on the way to Arkansas this year. So we were driving down we were taking an exit off to Arkansas. We were going to Agape with the worship team. And, I think we were about hour 6 in the car together. Surprisingly not tired of each other yet. And on the side of the road, there's a guy literally doing this. And Hannah and I looked at each other, and we kind of just kept on driving. And that was embarrassing. Because in my mind, I was thinking, well, we've got to pick up Sawyer at the airport here in a little bit. You know, we can't help this guy. You know, it wouldn't be safe to have a stranger in the car with we're going to pick up Sawyer pretty soon. And I want to be safe. I don't really know. I was making up all these excuses. You know, we're on a time limit, right? We're all out of time. Well, we got to Arkansas early enough that we were able to meet Marissa for coffee for like an hour and just hang out. And I just think of the whole scenario, and I think about how gross it is, how self-centered it was that I was thinking of me the entire time, right? And I'm thinking about the Levite and the priest as well, about how easy it is to not show your love towards people, how easy it is to make excuses to not love other people. But the Samaritan, who in chapter 9 of Luke, the very town where Jesus was rejected from, Jesus now shares a story of the Samaritan who is this gracious and loving person, right? It doesn't matter what laws there are. Give him 2 denarii, right? That's 2 days' wages. And in fact, Mr. Innkeeper, you can pay whatever you want on top of that. Spend whatever you feel like. I'll come back and I'll pay whatever bill you want, right? Leaving an open check for this person to pay for him. That's the kind of love that this person was putting on, right? So that tells us one, that answers, sorry, the lawyer's first question. Who is my neighbor? Well, sir, for you, it's first of all not the person you think it is, right? It's not the Levite and the priest. It's going to be the Samaritan. But more importantly, if you're wanting to know how to love God and love other people, this is how you love other people. This is how you be a good neighbor. So he goes on to the second story that Luke gives us. Martha and Mary. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home, and she had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations. She came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." And this is the whole meat of the message, is butting these two stories together, okay? What in the world are we to think of Jesus praising the Samaritan for going out of his way, putting this half-dead guy on his saddle and taking him to an inn and paying and just throwing money at this guy? But when Martha pretty much does the same exact thing when Jesus walks into her home, she's doing a little bit too much. Right? It's only fair as the reader that we assume, well, if we're judging, you know, the last question that Jesus asks in the parable of the Good Samaritan is, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor? So the question of that I want to ask you for Mary and Martha is, who is being the good host here? That's the question that's being vaguely asked in this story. And the answer is not who you think it is, even though we've just been told what a good neighbor is. And it all makes sense when you realize who you're neighboring to. Because the person who walks into Mary and Martha's home is not a half-dead man. It's the Lord God himself. And Mary understood that, and she looked at him, and she knew that she could do nothing but fall at his feet. I love Mary. I love reading stories about her just crying so much that it wets her hair and she washes his feet. One of the most looked down upon and despised and gross things that you could do, right? This is Mary, a woman who, when she sees God, she's going to love on him. So, let's go back to Jesus and the lawyer, and I'll be done. And this is the message I want to give to everyone after talking for way too long. The interaction between Jesus and the lawyer, I really want to make a strong case that it's more than just, this is more than just a story about who should my neighbor be. This is a story of what is neighboring and what is loving in action. And if you think about it, it really slips well into what we've been talking about in James, where James is really just pushing for this, we've got to be doers, right? This is love in action, but there is a key emphasis on attentiveness. Who is the person right in front of me, and what is the kind of love that they need right now? So when we have love first on the front of our t-shirt, in the front of our church, in the front of our banner, when we say we love first as a church, we have to live it, and we have to be attentive to that. If God is in our presence, we must fall at his feet. If there is someone who is broken and needy, we must be as generous and open and merciful as the Samaritan. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your body, and love your neighbor as yourself. It sounds so easy, but actually having to apply that and actively look for it, being intentional about it, it will ruin whatever lifestyle you want to live, that you want to have on your own. Looking at people in love will change your life. But we as a community believe that living in love is better, because God claims that he is love. So when we love other people, what are we doing? We are sharing him with others. We are pouring light into the world with others. So that's my call to us this morning, is just a reminder of the potency of the message of the love first, the greatest command. Be attentive like the Samaritan and like Mary. Be intentional. Be aware of your surroundings. Love first purposefully. Don't just say it. Do it. And let it change you from the inside out. Luke ends with a prayer after these two stories. And so I would like to end this morning with a prayer as well, as the worship team gets up here and leads us in our last song. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. Father, we love you, and we trust you, and we want nothing more than to become like you, than to just spend every waking moment in your presence, to spend every moment in this family right here, becoming more like you, basking in your love. But Father, there's a world out there that is unaware of your love. Let us become more aware of the men and the women, like the half-dead man, who need to be taken care of. But also let us be attentive like Mary and know when it's appropriate to just fall at your feet. Let this be our guide, our commandment that leads us into light and life with you for now and through eternity. We love you and we pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.
All your goodness.